You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Okay, this is The Comedy Cellar Show on Sirius XM 99, Raw Doggy, coming to you from the back table at The Comedy Cellar. The voice you're hearing is Dan Natterman, which means, of course, as is so often the case, Noam Dworman is not here. I believe he is on vacation in Miami, Florida, with the wife and kids. The million-dollar question is he even needed to run The Comedy Cellar? And it's looking more and more like he is not, because the place is running very well without him.
Just fine.
We have with us Dove Davidoff, a regular here at The Comedy Cellar Show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And a not-so-regular, but always happy to have him with us, Kyle Dunnigan.
Yes, sir.
He's in from Los Angeles.
West
and
Coast.
And Stephen Calabria, our producer, is sitting here, and he's a guest, but, you know, Stephen's like, he's the producer, he's a guest, but he chimes in, but he's not official, but he's here.
Thank you for that introduction, Dan.
Kyle, welcome.
good to be here.
Kyle lives in Los Angeles. I've been to his house, by the way. It's quite beautiful. It's on a hill overlooking the Sun Lake.
Yes, you have been there, yes. We've pitched some shows to Howie Mandel.
Yes, we did. Kyle, you're in New York. Of course, we have a lot of comics that live in L.A. They come to New York, whether to film a movie, whether it's a new series they're working on. Kyle, what brings you here?
Visiting Mother.
And that's not quite as exciting. Mm.
I had a meeting at HBO, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
What kind of meeting?
It was for like a hour special meeting. Special.
Why yeah. here? Why here, Kyle? Why not in Santa Monica, where the HBO has an office?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They didn't tell me that.
That's odd.
I was in Baltimore doing some shows. You ever go to Magoobies?
No, I don't go to
Well, that's, you know, right. It's not a bad... The ergonomic of the room is actually kind of... The sound's nice.
Yes.
It's just in the middle of this...
You're stuck.
Not nice place.
It's one of
you're
those
stuck.
Weekends where you're stuck.
Kyle, I don't know if you know this. I don't really do clubs anymore.
Not for him.
Why not?
It's not for me.
He doesn't like it.
I
get so depressed. And thankfully, as our listeners know, as I talk about it, I've been doing more corporates as well as the occasional synagogue.
Well, good.
And Jewish community center.
I don't believe you.
Because it pays the same money and it's one show. And I don't love
like
that either, by the way.
Nor,
let's be very clear. I've had
you.
Enough.
Yes.
I've had enough.
But unfortunately,
would you be happy doing the gig if it were a lot more money and in a theater? Is it, or it's just the money and
well, it's for it's
thank
like
you
it's,
appreciate.
It's you have to go to these towns and spend a lot of time there. And oftentimes,
right. But in the case of the gigs that you do, that would be no longer than if you had to go to somewhere and do a theater in a town.
I also
where
get
there
very
was a Motel
anxious
6
when
or...
I perform. The truth okay. is, I've never loved doing stand up.
I see.
Comedy.
I see. You're like Woody Allen.
I want to back you up on. I want to second that.
You know, you don't love.
I'm not sure what we're doing, what this is.
Well, I thought that I would get a sitcom or something of that nature early when I was starting.
Right.
And of course, it didn't work out that
way. Well, when we started, that was the big thing. You did stand up to get your sitcom.
Yes. Or it's certainly a lot of people were getting those.
Everybody got them, except for us.
It was like the tulip craze of the 17th century.
It's exactly like that.
It really
was
a run.
Thinking, yeah.
When, in fact, it wasn't sustainable for anybody, and there were only five of them that ever really worked for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole idea is they're throwing out deals the strategy was that they're going to invest in somebody and that they're going to turn into Seinfeld, right?
Right.
I mean, that was the whole idea. So you go to Montreal, if you have a nice smile and 7 funny minutes, they give you a deal. But the deals not only didn't work out, they never worked out, with the exception of very, very few.
Yes. But that's us looking...
So the whole model was essentially a bit faulted.
But that was us looking at it from the inside. From the outside,
yes,
before I started doing comedy.
Of course.
I saw comics, I saw Seinfeld. I saw Roseanne Barr.
Yeah.
I saw Tim Allen. They were doing stand-up. They were getting sitcoms. The sitcoms went on to... become
well, there
hit.
Were a lot of big deals in there too that you forget about, like Justin McKinney and that. Who was that girl? My period boobs.
That's
that?
Sue Costello. Yes, okay. Yes, yes.
$500,000.
They got a lot of money.
I remember Chicken got like
chicken
a,
money. They started calling it Chicken Money.
Yes,
they gave him $500,000.
That's
and he
right.
had like 5 minutes of Missouri.
But now to segue into somebody for whom. Miracles did happen. Amy Schumer is tied the knot. One of our very own, whether that's marriage is Hollywood marriage or a legitimate love story,
I
don't know.
Well, who's she married to?
She married a chef.
Oh, wow.
Now yeah. Chefs, I don't know if you know this about chefs. They're crazier than comics.
Is that the case?
And they carry knives.
There you go. Okay. All right.
But,
we all wish you the best.
We certainly do. Now, Kyle, you were at the wedding. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I don't want to get too into celebrity gossip, and I know Dove doesn't like it.
You love it.
Don't
let me. You know, it's your show.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Well, I get
it.
It is my show, but Dove looks at me with that condescending,
but we're not having
Kierkegaard in this category.
We're having a conversation at a dinner table. I could care less about that culture. I didn't grow up with it, and I don't much care about it. But it's completely apropos if you're talking to an audience out there that's listening to a show about, you know, comedy in that world.
I'll tell you this. I saw the vows. Going by the vows.
Yeah. Is this,
it's legit.
It's legit. Okay.
Seems like a very nice guy. Very, yeah. Seems like they really...
Had you met him before? Legit.
I never met him before.
I met him here briefly at the Comedy Cellar. He was sitting with her.
Did you pick up a vibe?
I didn't get a vibe one way or the other. But yeah, you know, I'm always skeptical about Hollywood marriages. And Amy now is a Hollywood persona.
Yes.
And so one has to wonder whether this is going to last for any legitimate length
of time. Do we have any statistics on that, Kyle? The idea of Hollywood relationships relative to any relationship being that divorce rates are 50% in the first place?
I think they're a lot
worse in Hollywood.
Worse for Hollywood marriages.
Do we know this, though?
Yes.
You think
yes.
so?
Yes.
What happened to did we lose something?
I always wonder, you know how Gladwell writes those books and where all of the underlying data can often be surprising, right?
Wait, hold on. I just want to see if we lost something
on
the...
For God's sake, man.
Can I get...
I guess we do need Gnome. He would
Why
fix
do you
this.
Think we
well,
lost
Well, because
something.
It was going all the way over here, I thought, and now
The audience at home, Dan is referring to colors on the screen that apparently indicate something about...
I thought that it had gone...
Dan, it's still going.
It's moving really
slowly.
You know nothing about tech.
Have we been going for 7 minutes?
Yes.
Only 7 minutes?
Yes.
It seems like longer.
You beast.
What time is it?
It is 6:52. Oh, so we're exactly 7 minutes.
Okay, so like I said, everything running to plan. By the way, Kyle, apropos of the Schumer, I believe his name is Fisher.
Yeah.
And it was pointed out on Twitter that her name would be Amy Fisher if she kept his name,
yeah.
if she takes his name. Which, for those of our younger audience members, that was the Long Island Lolita accused of shooting her 30-something boyfriend's wife at the age of 16.
Mm.
Anyway, one question I did have with regard to Amy's wedding is, was she registered anywhere or at that level? And plus, it was a last-minute wedding.
No, it was no gifts.
No gifts.
If you want to donate to like charity.
That's the classy way to do it. If you already have
I just wondered at that level of income, does she really need your salad bowl? So I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
So you said she'd just donate.
Just donate. Yeah, no gifts.
Okay.
Which is nice. Open bar, free food, no gifts. That's nice. That's
and you brought
nice
your girlfriend?
Wedding.
I believe you.
No, she's in Vegas. She couldn't make it. She got, it was on a Tuesday. She's got her doctor stuff.
Oh, she's a physician, your girlfriend?
Well, she's in rotation right now. I don't get paid yet.
Okay.
What does rotation mean?
It's like
Stephen
every
Calabria,
month
our producer.
You go to a different thing. Like, you'll be OB-GYN 1 month, and the next month you do, like, trauma surgery. Then you go... So you get a sense of what you want to focus on.
Every doctor does that?
Yeah. It's part of, like, med school.
Mm.
And then there's residency for, like, 3 years where you get paid but not a ton.
By the way, speaking of Las Vegas, the announcement was made. It's official, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, our listeners knew already. Our listeners are always the first to know.
Does Kyle know?
I'm on the first
Kyle
weekend.
Does Kyle know? He's on opening weekend. Las Vegas Comedy Cellar has been officially announced.
Hey, look
April
at that,
5th at the Rio Hotel.
Woo. Whoa.
We will bring the Comedy Cellar, not to the West Coast, but to the West. Mm. Yeah,
to the Great West.
Can I say something? I'm going back to doing the road stuff.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm doing this. Here's what I think bothers me about it.
About the road or about Las Vegas?
This past weekend, no, the road.
The real road. You're right. Baltimore.
Back me up if you feel this way. You're alone for 23 hours.
And then there's
too much attention on you for an hour.
Yeah, there's a room full of attention for an hour.
You just go and you yell at people, and then you leave. I just leave.
What you're referring to, I think, is a cognitive dissonance, a kind of you'll have an experience, and then the idea that you go from alone to in a room full of people, it's dissonant. Your psychology needs time to adjust. There is no transition period.
Yeah, there's probably that. And it's also like you never really connect with people. Like
I'm not positive I'm using dissonance in the right context, but I think I am.
I believe you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just going up there telling them a monologue and leave. You're not even really interacting too
much.
Right.
That's right.
It's lonely.
Well,
lonely.
Kyle, it is lonely, but that's not my main issue. Oh. My main issue is the anxiety.
Really?
Yes, it is. The anxiety of performing
it's
on stage.
Because you're so good.
Well,
yeah,
thank
he's
you,
so
Kyle.
Funny.
Thank you, Kyle. I'm not going to disagree with you.
And plus, it's not like you rely on performance so much. Your material.
So
you
what you're saying is I'm basically... Yeah. What you're saying is I'm basically a
you're not
a
needed,
wooden stool
you're
up
You're not
there.
Needed.
You
hit just
play
press,
and
hit
get
play.
Off stage, man.
Some people like a Dane Cook can't go up there depressed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
but you could, I think, well, and still do
you can't,
well.
I can't phone it in. I mean, I've thought that, like, I'll just talk and I won't worry so much about it. But the truth is I have to be present mentally. You know, it's even my act, which is relatively low energy.
Kyle, I very much experience, I relate to that, your experience. I mean, the downside of being alone for 23 hours, and then for 1 hour, there's a lot of attention, and then you're alone again.
Right.
Right? So you're alone, there's a lead up, and then something, and then immediately you're back to being alone in a hotel room.
Are you someone who talks to people
I just wrote a book
afterward?
About it. I mean, the memoir I just wrote, I mean, has a lot of that in it, and then what happens in that moment, we all have those little sort of dark vacuum spaces that lead to, whether it's fucking food or drugs or weird relationships or, you know, it's exacerbated in that moment when you get off stage and you have all of that energy and you've been alone and you don't want to really continue to be alone, but there's no way to not be alone. Without being with a whole group of people that you don't know.
And a weird interaction.
In a very weird interaction.
They're looking at you like you're different.
It's a whole thing.
Keep entertaining them.
Kyle, by the way, you do music in your act a lot.
Sometimes I do.
Yeah. Do you do it when you're at Magoobies? They set up a piano for you?
Yes. Magoobies got me a piano.
Okay. Kyle has a lot of musical. So let's contrast with Vegas. A lot of the thing that's... a lot of what is intriguing to comedians about the Vegas room is it's not the typical format you have. You're out there with four... Well, there's three other comedians plus the MC.
Oh,
you knew that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you don't. Well, you're only doing like 20 minutes.
Oh, great.
Per show.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then
nice.
so that cuts the anxiety, at least for me. And then you're going to be now I'll tell you who you're going to be.
Why don't you do some shows with me out there? Why don't you come
out
there?
Well,
we
have to talk to Esty. I want to go out there with my card counting team.
I told Noam if
he sends me to Vegas, he's got to send me out there with the card counting team. Now, can you count?
I can count cards.
Okay.
But only the basic one. There's like more complicated ones that I don't know.
Well, I don't necessarily need you out there if you're going to fuck it up.
Yeah, that's right. Could it be hotter in here?
Yeah, it's very hot. But Kyle, So I don't know. Do you know even who you're performing with?
No.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. This could be it. Now, you talk about good radio. Kyle's is going to be informed who he's going to be performing with. And we'll see if he's happy about it.
Do you know where I'm going in the lineup?
I don't know.
Yeah,
that I don't know. But the MC is Mark Cohen, our dear old friend Mark Cohen, who is out house emceeing out there.
I'm so glad he got that job.
It's good for him because...
He's got a daughter out there.
He's got a daughter out there.
Nice.
Okay, so you'll be out there with Mo Ammer. Do you know Mo?
No.
Mo Ammer is a Palestinian Muslim Arabic. I know Kyle's cringing, but he's one of the good ones. he is a comedian, but he lives in Texas. He doesn't live in Texas. I think he grew
up
in Texas. He lives here, but I think he grew up
in Texas. I believe in Houston.
Very nice guy.
Yeah, Mo's a good dude.
Good dude.
Opens for Chappelle.
Well, he opens for Chappelle, okay.
Yeah.
And brings a slightly different point of view than you might otherwise have, in Las Vegas. He talks a bit about being Muslim in today's America. So he'll be there with you. Jessica Curzon.
Oh, I love her.
Jessica
Curzon.
Jessica's great.
And Nate McIntosh, a very, very high-energy Canadian. Do you know Nate McIntosh?
I don't know him. Well, Nate work here? Is he...
Everybody works here. That
they're flying out.
They're flying out.
I'm just gonna drive.
Okay, so that's one of the advantages of using an LA comedian is they can drive, whereas the New York comedians,
awesome.
It costs a little bit of money, and so
to communicate a bit about the model that the seller is using. I mean, that's I think what ideally will be the competitive advantage is they'll put on a show with headliners and they'll have four of them as opposed to your local MC and a kind of traditional middle, then 45-minute headliner thing.
I like that better.
Yeah.
Well, I think it works for the audience, and it definitely works for the comedians.
It definitely works for the comedians, and it definitely works for the audience if it's sustainable financially, because the model requires that. Traditional headliner models are all about money. They only want to pay one guy that much to come out and do comedy, so you have to do 45 minutes. In this case, you've gotten four people. that, you know, could have done 45 theoretically, and they're doing less than half
right,
that.
But you still have to pay them decently because they're giving up a whole weekend.
But that's what I'm questioning about the model and whether or not, you know, are these things sustainable? And listen, I hope it's a big hit.
All will be known in time.
All will be known in time.
And Dan, did you say I don't want to do it?
No, I didn't say that at all. Okay. I never say that about anything that I don't do.
Well, you don't do clubs.
No, you do say that about certain things you don't do.
Except for clubs. I told Noam.
Yeah, there are many things, actually.
Except
for 100 clubs.
I told Noam that I would like to do a podcast out there opening weekend. He said, great.
Ooh,
and he said, yeah, well, you know, and then he asked Liz to ask Esty, but I think it was already booked by then.
Well.
But, I mean, I told Noam I'm happy to go out there anyway if he'd pay air and hotel to do a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't have to, but I'm willing to do that.
You can have some of my time, too, if you want.
Well, that's not necessary.
Well, if you want to.
All right. No, I don't worry. I don't need that. I'm just saying I would go out there and do a podcast. Dove.
Yes, man.
Dove Davidoff.
Yes.
Any news?
So much news.
Any news on the baby? This is something we've talked about. Dove is... And
No. We're not far along enough in the process right now for news. But certainly, you know, the IVF, the implantation, then there's got to be a test and all of that. So, but we're far enough so that there'll be news at some point.
Dove has 10 embryos on ice.
Ooh. On ice, man. They're on ice.
They're on ice. And, nice. And
I've got a weak motility.
Oh. Are they five men and five boys and five girls?
Oh, I don't know the answer to that. I just know that they took the healthiest eggs. The healthiest sperm, and then they pair them to create an embryo. And so the ratio of...
But there's 10 embryos on ice.
Ten embryos on ice.
And they will...
Yeah, I don't think you know the sex till...
Well, they
I think
can.
They can.
They can. Yeah.
They can know the sex. They
if
can.
You, if you if you want, you know, a boy or a girl, you can have that implanted.
Wow.
Yeah, and they can, I think, take it a bit further than that as well.
Well,
genetic testing.
I don't think they can do that, but they can take it if it's a boy or a girl. If you're looking for a concert pianist, they can't help you.
Yeah,
that you just have to hope for.
If you want to weed out hacks, you can ask them to take a look. No, I don't know.
I think you're playing God, and I can't
totally
approve.
Agree. Yeah,
I
totally agree.
I don't think he's playing God,
but what is interesting, what strikes me, is how much it costs and what a pain in the ass it is.
Yes.
To create this kid that, let's face it, we don't need in this world.
We don't need him.
We don't need him.
We'll muddle through without him somehow.
We don't need him.
Wait a minute. What? I'm kidding, of course, about you.
No. By the way, it's with the embryos. Although, if you continue to take it further through genetic testing, you can play God for a bit. I think you can isolate for certain types of eye and hair color.
Yeah, you can do that, I suppose.
Well, I know that when we do genetic testing, which normal situation don't do, they're able to determine whether or not you have a recessive gene, and I have one, and the likelihood of there being a problem. So you're weeding things out. You're screening for certain deficiencies.
Kyle, do you seriously have an issue with this, or are you just being facetious?
No, I don't have an issue. I'm all for, like, completely genetically engineering children. And I'm for, like, you can only have one kid.
Oh, me too. Me too. I think that's a great idea.
I don't know why people have a... I mean...
Politically, I don't know why that's such a... I know why it's a hot-button thing with religion and all, but it seems like so many of our problems are also inextricably linked to the idea that there are too many fucking people.
Yeah. And
you know? Whether it's global warming or starvation. I mean, if there were fewer people, then the problems would be a bit easier to tackle, wouldn't they?
Well, I can't speak to that necessarily.
Why can't you?
Well, you know, because I can't, because it sounds like a complicated issue. But I do know that we, you know, they're always talking about how our economy needs more people in it.
Economically,
well, that's one of the reasons
why we have so many immigrants.
And also in Western Europe, where they have to have immigrants, because people, there's just, the economy requires, a modern economy requires a certain amount of people.
You need balance, and the earth can only take so many people. Eventually, we're going to have to do that.
It does seem as though we're headed in that direction.
Well, I don't know if we'll eventually have to do it or not.
Well, China did it. And what was their experience of that model, using that model?
I don't know.
Well, you've got to look at
that. That's why next week we're going to have on Xing Laoping from the University of Guangzhou will be here to discuss demographic developments in modern China. And you'll certainly want to stick around for that discussion.
Stick around for that.
But no, it is. I just do find it interesting, you know, that people want kids this badly that they're willing to put themselves through this, what seems like a horrific process.
It's an unbelievably ironic
And people don't speak well. You do a bit about that?
People speak well about kids?
I have a bit about marriage.
It's the same thing. Yeah. I ask people about having kids, and I get this. I think about your joke because it does...
They like their kids more than being married, generally speaking, when I hear people speaking about that experience.
Well, they love their kids, but are we really hearing about the day-to-day kind of experience of having all of that added responsibility?
Noam seems to love it. Noam does.
But Noam had him when he was older. I don't know how that factors into it.
Less energy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and also just wanting to run around less and having experience more, and maybe you feel like you're giving up less. I don't know.
I think also it depends on your wife, if she's home or she's really busy. If you can afford a nanny, that probably is.
I
mean, if I don't have a nanny and I'm a only father and I have a kid, that would not be good.
So you don't, in your mind, you're not, Kyle, thinking in terms of kids.
I would have a kid. I would.
Okay.
If I was with someone that wanted to have a kid.
Now, without revealing ages, Kyle's about my age. He's not a spring chicken necessarily. He's yet another comedian.
He looks very young.
We both look in our 20s.
I wouldn't go that far. But Kyle's one of the, you know, in comedy, we do, there's a lot more older, non-married, non-kid having people than in the general population, it seems to me.
Well, that's, what is that? What's that? They call it that anecdotal, your experience. And I would imagine that's right.
Well, my experience in comedy is pretty, I think, accurate in that regard.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think we're immature people. I can speak for myself. I don't want to grow up. I'm trying to keep this kid thing going.
Yeah.
And, That's for me. Now I can't speak for why you don't have kids or a wife at this late stage.
But that's not what he asked you to do. He asked you to speak in general.
That's hard for me to do. I think we're just a broken people, and I think that
could contextualize
this
a bit.
Broken people have kids all the time. The time.
Arguably more so.
More maybe.
Well, that's an interesting point. Maybe we're selfish people.
Yeah, there's more here.
Maybe
there's more here that you are not looking at.
Well, why, do you have any theories?
Sure. Yeah, the idea that, that you're going somewhere at night to do this thing that you're very connected to, I think is a traditional kind of model for a life is if you get up early, you go to a job of sorts, and then you return home. If you have a life that takes place after 9 p.m., and then you go on and off the road, and then there are stability issues and financials. It's like all of the data, you know, it sort of adds up to a kind of...
I'll add to that.
Yeah.
On top of that, I think there's... I'm imagining if I had a 9-to-5 job, I was coming home, and then I think...
And
at
your culture, the people
you're
around, the guys I grew up with, they all come home at 6 o'clock, and they have a kind of a culture that speaks to family and solidity.
That's right.
And
I think also there's an element of, like, I think I'd be bored. Like, now what do I do? I have no...
Sure.
I just have this day job. I want a family.
Yes. I think there's a lot of that. I think most people aren't doing something that they were really passionate about and took a lot of risks to get into for the most part. I don't want to oversimplify.
So we're saying we're kind of married to our career.
Well, think about a musician's life. Think about, I mean, these lives that don't seem to lend themselves
but
toward
I think musicians
sustainable
have,
family solidity.
I think musicians are more likely to have kids, though. Often maybe with, you know, somebody they meet on the road or a...
I don't know about that. I don't know. I mean, I would have to, you know, source information, but I don't know. Is that true?
Kim Jong-un is coming next week. Who's coming next week?
I forgot his name, but he's from the University of Wangshu.
He's giving us statistics.
By the way, Dove came up, as he sometimes does in therapy today.
Yeah.
I was saying to my therapist, I said, what do you make of this Dove Davidoff guy? Yeah. I didn't have anything to talk about. The truth is, I don't have much to talk about today. You know, I mean...
What did he say?
I said, here's a guy, and I was talking about this with Russ Maniv also. I said, here's a guy that was the biggest booty hound on 2 feet when I met him in the late 90s.
Yeah.
This guy, he was ill. He was ill. He was a lot of fun, but he was like a drug addict that's so much fun to hang out with, but they're addicted.
He was.
I mean, the shit he would pull, the moves he would pull... And now he has been, according to him, and I believe him when he says it, monogamous for 2 years.
Since before the marriage.
For 2 years. And I've never seen a transition like that. Nobody has.
Nobody
has seen that. I've never seen anything like it.
It's never been done.
Doug will tell you he's been in therapy. Therapy's not working for anybody else.
Right. No, I think you're right.
My therapist said he thinks, you've got a physical illness.
Yeah. I think therapy is just a component of a kind of larger.
But how did you do it?
A realization or a maturity kind of arc, right? So in reading the tea leaves, I mean, I used to have a joke about, I wouldn't do the joke, but the premise, the idea was that I would I was worried that if I didn't, you know, buckle down, that I would end up outside of the Comedy Store in L.A., and it would be, I'd have an open shirt on with a gold chain, and it would be raining, and then across the street it would be sunny, and I would see my ex-girlfriend with a husband and two kids, and they're eating ice cream.
That explains why you want to be monogamous.
Well, that's the first step.
Not why.
Is a conceptualization of what you think might be a better fit. Right? And then you try to backtrack from there. So there's an idea or an objective, and then you figure out the steps needed to take.
But here's the thing. I understand perfectly well why you would strive to be monogamous, why you don't want to be the old guy at the comedy store with a ponytail still trying to pick up babes and you know, and texting, hey girl, sup, S-U-P, at 60 years old, sup.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. What I don't get is how you have... You don't even, if you were coming in every day and saying, fucking hey, man, I gotta drop a cream, as you used to say
muscling.
All the time. but I can't because classic I don't want to be that old guy at the comedy store. Then I would say, all right, he's wrestling. But I don't even see you wrestling.
Well, because I think that
it seems like you're tiptoeing through the tulips.
I visualize, I don't know what the fuck it's called, but if you isolate something in your mind, and it's so clearly, the tea leaves are, that's going to lead to bad stuff. If you talk to somebody who's been through rehab, right? I mean, what you're referring to is the potential to relapse or whatever, but if you've been through rehab enough, and your life got dark enough, then at some point you go, listen, this shit equals death, and if I continue to engage in whatever late night pursuit or hang out after midnight, the likelihood of fucking up is getting higher. And so you begin to remove yourself from every situation that presents a kind of a liability of sorts.
Do you find yourself using strategies to avoid?
Yes, I get out of situations.
So how do you do that?
I move, baby. I got feet. That's how I do it. My feet.
But like, in other words, whereas before, after a show, you might hang out till all hours.
Yeah, used to. Absolutely. That was part of the upside. That's part of what's made the road more difficult, is that there's less incentive.
Yes.
You know, you're in a relationship.
It's fun.
That used to be at least the possibility would get you through certain parts of the set, or going to the club, or you know, but then that for me led to wanting to hang out and drink. I've never been a big drinker, but after a show, if you're hanging around with a bunch of strangers, what makes it easier is to, if you start drinking, it reduces all of that, you know, the friction and the awkwardness and the kind of, you know what I mean,
right?
When you drink alcohol, and so that becomes a kind of, it's a slippery slope kind of experience. You drink, and then that begets another drink, and then the morning becomes later and later, and then your life sort of turns into that comedian late night. And I know those lives, and I thought it's not for me. I don't want to live that life.
It sounds not unlike ice cream or something, where you just, when you're younger, you could always just get ice cream, and then you realize it's unhealthy and you need some broccoli and no
more. And you can't metabolize it as well anymore.
You're not digesting dairy well.
Well, I think that's a very reasonable. You lost me because I'm lactose intolerant. At about 35, it kicked in, and what can I tell you?
Coconut ice cream.
Pardon?
Coconut ice cream.
Well, you can. Ben Jerry's is doing wonderful things with vegan ice cream.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, using an almond milk base. And it's quite good. They don't pay me, by the way, for that plug. I just believe in the product. So, Dove, now after a show here at the Comedy Cellar, where you might... I remember in the old days you say, Dan, let's go out outside after the show. Because here at the Comedy Cellar, if you've never been here, after the show is over, some girls come upstairs to the bar area. Most go right outside into the... They're ejected right out into the ether.
Into the ether. And we used to hang out in the ether after the show. And then whoever was around and looked like they were, you know, hanging around or looking like they wanted to go out after the show. I mean, there was a much higher probability after being on stage of meeting one of these people. And for
so
any
you go
number
outside,
of reasons,
you hang out, you see two girls that are unaccompanied. You say,
absolutely.
How you doing? Hey, you give your best
to moan. I don't say it quite like the moan from Dr. Richmond High.
Isn't this great?
Yeah, isn't this great? Put on side two of Led Zeppelin 3. Yeah. No. Yeah, I mean, my version of that. Yeah, sure.
Well,
because... And then you have something to do, right? So you have all of that energy.
What was your version? I forgot.
You know, I didn't have a version. There was no specific line. There was
I think
just
they came
like,
up
hey,
to you and said
you
were funny,
so.
And you're like, oh, thanks.
Yeah, you know, I have a wounded kind
so
of
why,
thing.
So where's
yeah.
your boyfriend?
I don't think oh, was that one of your lines?
I heard him once say.
No.
I
you
heard
have
him,
a line?
No, I heard him once say to a girl, where's your boyfriend?
I didn't have a line.
And she said, I don't have one. And he said, right answer. Then he took her hand and they were
what?
Out of there. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
if I'm. As I sit here,
yeah.
as I live
my
breathe.
Hand to God, this is yeah. the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
He grabbed her hand. He said, right answer, grabbed her hand. Yeah. And they were out the door.
Out the door.
Yeah, what happened after that, I don't know, but one can imagine.
Yeah, but it wasn't a result of having a good line.
Out the door.
Or necessarily a great rep. I think the kinds of women that were at all drawn to me were already, the screening process that had already taken place before I've said anything, he said they're unhealthy people.
but you knew, you looked in her eyes and I guess you just knew.
Yeah, of course I knew.
You knew. That-
I knew. How does a pig know that there's a truffle in the ground? It's a pig boy. Yeah. That's what that snout is for. And that's how it evolved over millions and millions of years.
I never
I'm
did
a porker.
That well, but yeah, I do feel a little bit of the loss of that. But
of
I mean,
course.
You must feel it more acutely if you.
Well,
if
that
you
was
well.
My thing. That was a bit of a you know what that was how I.
But
got
he looks
high
at but he
degree.
You try to think
yeah,
of what
so.
You do have, which you so much as we've so I've so,
so rich
so
deep,
much richer
so sustainable
so rich yeah. and so wonderful to have someone
yes,
that you love
so sweet, yes.
whether or not you have. Any sexual attraction for them anymore?
Common.
I don't know.
Yeah. I would argue yeah. that pessimism is a good quality to have if you want to stay in a marriage and faithful. Because
right, as long
you,
as
when
it's
you
not
go
too
out, you go, if you see some, you go, you can go, oh, that's not going to work out, and you go home.
Yes,
but if you're like optimistic, oh, you know, I could make this happen.
Right, but you don't want to bring that pessimism into your relationship because then all of the you
that's
know,
true. Yeah,
I think
true.
What you might be getting at is there's something to be said for the complete. Can be completely out of the game.
Mm.
That is to say, yeah. if you think you got a Chinaman's chance.
A Chinaman's chance, yeah.
I hate to use that. and I would never say that in front of Dr. Wang Xiao, who will be our next guest.
Yeah, not going to say that next week.
But
that's right.
No, if you have this, if you think you have a slightest chance, you know, yeah. then you might still be out there hunting.
Well, no, not if you think you have a chance, because you do have a chance. So what you have
but
to do is concentrate.
But some people might have no chance whatsoever, and they're like,
well,
all right.
Yeah, perhaps, sure, yeah. I always thought that if that demographic, cause let's say that were represented by the people that end up, a lot of the Comic-Con people, and I've heard people make fun of other people for being super into gaming and things like that,
yeah.
and usually the context in which they're made fun of is that, well, they're not going to get laid doing that. Right. Now, I always thought, why in the world is running around in a promiscuous way any more productive or
satisfying
or increase the likelihood of happiness than playing games or Dungeons and Dragons or anything else? I mean, qualitatively, how is one superior to the other? It's all a fantasy game. I mean, one actually is one you end up with a wizard, and
well,
then
yeah,
the other
you're
one's
saying
a burrow.
That these,
so that's
these,
a little bit different.
These Comic-Con people might be happier than everybody else.
Absolutely,
and by the way, there's a lot of banging going on at Comic-Con. Don't kid yourself.
There's no doubt about it. Don't kid yourself. Do not kid yourself.
I mean, it's costumed oftentimes, you know.
Yeah.
But, Dove, so you're saying that going out and banging everyone is overrated.
Well,
it doesn't provide you
well,
with the.
Well, I think a philosopher coined the term, you know, the law of diminishing returns as a function of how we operate, and so it's culture and brain chemistry and all of that. But if you combine it, how could you possibly experience the same upside, right?
Well, Dan, it seems like every time you bring up Dove from the old days, you always comment on how good
he was
with women. So
yes,
I mean,
yes,
it sounds
he
like
was
something
good.
That you really
effective.
Admire.
Well. Admire, you know, it was a spectacle.
That's right.
It was interesting. It was fun to watch.
Excuse me for a moment.
Dove has a phone call. Not sure who it is, but I admire it? It would come in handy, I suppose, if I had some of those skills. But mostly, it was just something to see.
So
there was always a show.
Would you have become such good friends with Dove if he wasn't so good with women?
No, it's nothing to do with that. He's an interesting person, and he's fun, and he's fun. I didn't know he was like that when I met him. I was shocked the first time I saw him in that state. I was like, holy, this guy's no joke. I didn't, you know, I had no idea to be, in the first, you know, when I met him, that he was like that, to be honest. Then I saw him when he was in that zone. I'm like, this guy, that was a part of him I didn't know about. So, no, that wasn't the reason. or you know. But it was always interesting to watch.
Mm. Don't you have a little fear if someone likes your show and they come up to you after, if you start hitting on them, they may be like, hey, no, I just liked you, thought you were fun. Now they're creeped out.
Right. So now, whereas before you had a fan that admired you, now you have somebody that thinks you're a creep.
Yeah, yeah.
You're exactly right. Now, not every guy, not every comic, I think, it deals with that, but I feel that very, very strongly. I couldn't agree with you more. I'd rather have, you know, I do enjoy having people that admire me and like me, and I don't want to ruin it by trying to have sex with them. But that's why I don't hit on them very hard after the show. I wait for them to come to me. If they're obviously interested, then I might, you know, move in that direction. But I don't. And Dove was very good, I guess, at just knowing, I think, from looking into somebody's eyes and just knowing. But I couldn't agree with you more. I'm not a very aggressive after shows. And I have the numbers to prove. My numbers are very low. My numbers are very low. I think
you have numbers to prove it.
I have the numbers. I have the documentation to prove it. I don't know if you want to reveal your number.
I really didn't do that well on the road.
Your number overall, be it the road, be it wherever.
I mean, what's good?
There's no good and there's no bad. It's whatever is, you know, is.
I think seven is average.
No.
Well, seven among men, I think, is average.
Total in lifetime?
Yeah. Or if not, lower.
What?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Well, no. You can look at our researcher slash producer.
For single people, it's got to be.
Well, I'm about 28, 29. So that's a pretty modest number, I think, for somebody of my vintage,
sounds
shall
solid.
We say. Huh?
Sounds pretty solid.
Well, yours is, I would imagine, is higher than
what
that.
What is that, one a year for you?
I guess if you average it out, sure. One a year since I started?
Yeah.
About?
Yeah.
Ish?
Yeah,
are you higher than that?
Yeah, I'm a little higher than that.
Okay, I thought you might be. Kyle is...
But I'll tell you, up to like 27, it was, I think it was five.
No, I was at zero up until 20. Well, I was a prostitute, but zero, zero without paying for it up till 27.
Wow.
Which is a pretty shocking statistic. By the way, I think I asked you this already. Did you see Black Panther by any chance?
No.
I did want to discuss it because everybody's talking about this movie.
It's funny how we found the four people in Manhattan who haven't seen it. And
well,
they're all
no,
at this
I think
table.
Most white people probably haven't seen it yet.
No,
my guess
must have. It's going huge numbers.
Yeah, but that's true. And it's not all black people that are counting for those numbers. I haven't. I'm just curious to see. I mean, it's a crazy phenomenon.
Yeah, I'm gonna see it.
Are you going to see it with whom? Are you going to see your girlfriend?
Probably see it with mother this weekend.
You're going to bring your mother to Black Panther? That seems like an odd choice. In Wilton,
it's a
Connecticut.
It's a superhero movie.
Westport.
In Westport,
don't
Connecticut.
Don't put me in Wilton. No, don't put me in Wilton.
Well, one thing about seeing Black Panther in Westport, Connecticut, there'll be seats available. You know, if you really want to see Black Panther, you go to the Magic Johnson Theater.
Yeah. It's white. It's so white, it's white.
Westport, Connecticut. Yeah, we're talking about Black Panther. Dove, I know you have not seen it, unless you saw it.
I haven't seen it, nor will I. I mean, I don't like, I'm not a big fan of superhero movies. I'm not going to go see this one just because he's black.
I'm not a fan either of superhero movies, but this is a cultural
event. You want to go? You want to go see it?
Well, yeah, are you asking me?
I think of myself as a monogamous man. I don't know. I'm not really into seeing it, to tell you the truth. I just, cultural event or not.
I'm interested in seeing it for, my reasons are twofold. Number one is...
Brokeback Mountain was a cultural event, and I didn't go see that.
I saw it and I enjoyed it, but...
Well, that's not my point.
But there's two reasons I want to see Black Panther. Number one is, everybody's talking about it. Number two is, it's hard to fill up an hour of podcast time, but I figure if I can talk about Black Panther,
that
might be an interesting angle.
It certainly could, and it's a higher probability of leading to material. There's a lot of racial stuff underneath and cultural stuff, and, you know, it could be fun.
I think it could be an interesting discussion. Stephen, is it possible maybe you find somebody that's seen Black Panther?
Just ask around the restaurant?
in terms of the comedians or maybe even the waitstaff.
Well, I would imagine a lot of them have seen Black Panther.
Jamie, have you seen Black Panther? Jamie, have you seen Black Panther? That's our new waitress, Jamie. You seen Black Panther? You have seen it?
Here.
Would you mind sitting down for just a couple of minutes?
Yeah, I mean, she's
I know
working.
You're busy.
You remember
this
that.
Is Jamie. She's a brand new waitress. Just hired her. She's been here for 6 days.
Like a delightful
don't feel
woman.
Pressured, by the way, if you don't want to be on our podcast.
That's okay. Someone just needs wine right
here,
now.
Here, just go closer.
Just make sure you speak into the mic. This is Jamie, everybody.
Hello.
A brand new waitress, a week old.
A week
and,
old.
And whether she'll last here, I don't know, but. It was like, do know, well, the waitresses there either tend to leave quickly or they're here
or they're
for 30
for
years.
A wage. Right, yeah, yeah.
Which way it's going to break with Jamie, I don't know. Where are you from originally?
Arizona.
She seems like a nice girl. Everybody
lovely,
likes her.
Lovely,
I've noticed.
We all like her in Arizona.
I've noticed she's been talking to someone, and they seem to all get
Arizona,
anyway,
yeah.
Black Panther. You saw Black Panther?
I did.
With
yes,
whom?
I saw.
With
my
whom?
Boyfriend.
With your boyfriend. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he is white?
Very much so.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That's a great first question.
Well, only because, and where'd you see it? Here in Manhattan?
Yeah, Times Square.
And what AMC. Was the composition of the theater, as best as you can recall, on the night in
that question. That question actually lends itself toward sort of Dan wondering why anybody would go see that movie unless the boyfriend were black.
No, I don't. I, not at all. But I know that it's popular in that community in particular. As it is in the white community. But I think it's more popular in the black community. I think that's not a crazy statement.
No, well, I don't
think
that's a reason.
Crazy
I don't think it's crazy at all. I back it up entirely.
So was your what was the composition of the theater as in your recollection?
There was a lot of black people. That's what you're asking.
Where? Yes. What part of town did you see it in?
It was Times Square.
Oh. Well, there's a lot of black people that see superhero movies in Times Square anyway. So I don't know that that's the best place to control for what the racial makeup was. I think if you went
you
to see Superman, there were a lot of black
you're
people.
You're saying
in
if I went to see Remains of the Day in Times Square?
No, sir. No, sir. I'm saying if you went to see a Marvel film.
Okay.
Then yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Anyway, so did you enjoy the film?
I did.
Did you?
I don't want to admit it, but I fell asleep in it. You guys.
Sounds like you were.
Sounds like you enjoyed it. Yeah.
Loved it. Great movie. But yeah, I fell asleep.
Well, you were very tired. You were so tired, in fact, that it overcame your absolute love of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, she just flew in from Hong Kong and she was jet lagged.
Oh wow, yeah. Is that true?
No,
wow.
I made that up because that's the only.
Oh, I see the
one sheet. I didn't want to admit it. I was going to sit here and lie and
no,
say
no,
that
no,
I knew
no.
parts
Why would
of it.
Well,
like,
of
I couldn't even
All
tell
right.
you.
In between dreams.
Yeah, Dan brings up a good point. If you loved it, how do you? I don't think I've ever fallen asleep in a movie.
I
was.
I fell asleep in one I liked, but
I guess I loved the soundtrack. I woke up for a lot of the music.
Okay,
and that woke me up. But also, their costumes were amazing. Like,
yeah, she didn't love the film.
She didn't like
the
film.
She loved the production and the music.
Yeah.
Which is always great.
Costumes, music.
No, the music
absolutely.
Was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. She likes it the same way that people like Cats on Broadway.
Okay, so you're not a huge fan of Black Panther.
I didn't say that. I just fell asleep. I'd have to rewatch it. But I just...
All right. You're well, racist. If you didn't like the movie.
Do you feel like
you'll get
afraid?
Back to us when you've seen the movie. And it was a nice. But no, Jamie, thank you so much for
of
stopping
course,
in and talking
you.
To us. Yeah. And please, there's a customer there who's just dropped dead of thirst.
She needs that wine.
But thank you so much. That's Jamie, everybody, from the great state of Arizona.
She's just dropped dead of thirst.
We are the Comedy Cellar podcast, but we often delve into what's going on in the world. And yeah. and I don't think it's one can avoid this week the huge news, the overwhelming news, the tragic news of what went on in Florida with the shooting at Parkland at the high school in Parkland, Florida.
Yeah.
And now here we are again, as we've been so many times after a shooting.
Yeah.
Wondering,
what is there to say at this point, unless it's a conversation about gun controls? Or anything we have to add to the conversation?
Yes, there is.
What?
Gun control.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm saying. Yeah, so that's what the conversation is.
What
gun
do you
control.
Think the big... I mean, I can imagine if you're in Alaska or you hunt, you want a gun. But there seems to be extra fervor to have...
Part of the narrative. It's like a two-door car. There's something about this country and the genesis of this country that seems that people are so...
What is that?
They've
why?
Internalized a love of guns. I remember I had guns as a kid. They were around, and we really enjoyed them. And shooting at things. This whole thing with assault rifles is a natural extension of loving guns. People are curious about machine guns. They rent them to shoot them. But as a country, why do we...
I just don't imagine forefathers who had to put in powder and a musket and shoot one
bullet.
Well,
here's the thing.
Would be like, hey, we wanted you guys to have assault rifles.
Here's the thing. That's
what's used as like, hey, right. The forefathers wanted us to do this.
Yes.
But they wouldn't be
well,
at
here's
all
the thing,
able
Kyle,
to imagine what
well, the
they were
context
talking about.
Is so different. The forefathers were talking about, they were worried about tyranny of the... Of the majority, right? The tyranny of the mob. No, but also the government, because you come from an aristocracy in England, and you were worried about people leveraging their political power, and to keep them honest, you too should be armed. It was a bootstrap philosophy. But if that were the case, if we were, if the objective were to be able to oppose the military, then we would have to arm the citizenry with F-15s and tanks.
Number one is, whether defense against tyranny was in the minds of the founding fathers when they drafted the Second Amendment, I don't think is necessarily 100% clear, but it is a oft-cited reason for the Second Amendment. That is to say, to in case the government becomes tyrannical, you have a defense. And I don't dismiss that out of hand.
Well, I will dismiss that out of hand because we no longer can defeat the government.
Well, now,
there's no
that was
way
my point about the F-15.
Yes, I don't agree.
You don't agree?
No, because very often, especially in a guerrilla war situation, a far lesser armed group can, in fact, stymie a far greater superior force, as we saw in Vietnam.
Castro's a very good example, as we saw in Afghanistan.
You know, if the government was sufficiently motivated, perhaps, and they brought out all the stops and were willing to suffer severe losses, they might be able to bring the people to heel. But, you know, you'd have to be willing to, you'd have to be very, 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 very motivated to contain a population with guns that does not wish to be contained.
Yeah.
And furthermore,
I haven't heard that before. I think that makes sense, too.
Well, I've heard it before.
But even a government with nuclear weapons.
Well, you nuke a country, then you have nothing to rule over.
Yeah. Waste land and robots.
Yeah, you can't. You'd be nuking yourself.
You know, and
you get them in one state.
And I think that the
and that state is Connecticut.
And to demonstrate that it works, I think is the fact that very few people are talking about confiscating weapons. Why?
Is that a rhetorical?
Rhetorical, but you can answer it anyway.
Because then they could shoot you if you try to get it.
Exactly.
No, that's not
why.
That's not why. It's because of the political will and the lobbyists and the power that gun owners have in this country.
Yeah, but part
nobody's
of that power
talking
is
about
because
limiting children either, or having people test to become a competent father or mother. It's not because people don't think it. It's only because they know that it's so unachievable. They haven't sort of suggested that as a potential reality.
A lot of people are suggesting to follow the Australian model, which involved a buyback. I don't think it was confiscation. I think it was a buyback.
They do that in certain communities here. Many times they'll advertise the idea that in poorer communities with a lot of violence, they'll say you bring in a rifle, it's X, and if you bring in a pistol, it's twice as much as a
I do want to address Kyle's point about what is it about America and how much we love our guns, and we do. But I don't really know. In other words, I know a lot of people I see on Twitter and I see on Facebook, and of course the NRA talks about the Second Amendment and how important it is. I'm not sure exactly what percentage of the population feels as strongly as some of the loudest members of the NRA that you hear. I mean, it could well be that 70% of our population are gung-ho Second Amendment people. It could well be that 10%. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I've seen
the
I
know what the you Second mean. Amendment, like we brought up before, it's not even what they're going by a rule when there was no assault rifles.
Yes, I know.
I think they've hijacked the Second Amendment we have amendments because things change, like the weapons, and they're different now.
So you're suggesting
stands to reason that a 200-year-old book would have clauses, a document,
right,
that may not work in whatever our world
then
is right now in the year 2017 with the internet.
You're suggesting we all get together and amend the Second Amendment.
That's why we have amendments.
I understand that, but it could well be that if we took a vote and decided what the Second Amendment should read, I don't know what it would say. In other words, if you asked every American what should the Second Amendment, if you had to craft from scratch a Second Amendment, every American, you have to draw up a Second Amendment from scratch. We don't have one.
You never need.
I don't know that they wouldn't say exactly what they.
When do you need an automatic or a semi-automatic weapon?
These deer can be very violent and
very. Kyle has to go on stage. Do you need one? You probably don't need.
An assault rifle.
You don't need one, but unless you're getting into this notion of tyranny of the government or a foreign invasion. The point has also been made that if a foreign power invades America, an armed population would be a nice
addition to whatever military we already have. Yeah.
And in which case, a semi-automatic rifle might come in handy.
Okay, but if that were the case, then why stop at an AR-15, which is a semi-auto? Why not go right full M4, whatever the automatic version is, and why stop there? Why don't we get rocket launchers? I mean, why isn't everything legal? I mean, again, if you're going to...
You're exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, amendment.
What I think is what we need to do is follows. We need to revisit the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
We need to have a
by the way,
countrywide...
what was there before there was an amendment? So if it was a Second Amendment...
Well, because it was a Bill of Rights, it came immediately.
Okay, so soon after that, there was an amendment.
The Constitution
that said
was drafted.
Right.
Yeah, but the Bill of Rights came like right then.
I see. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not familiar. I'm not a constitutional
when they drafted
scholar,
the Constitution. Prior to that, it was English common law, which I don't know what that said.
Yeah.
Which also, I think, gave you a right to bear arms.
Well, back then you needed it to survive if you were hunting. You know, I mean, you know, that it was more of a survival necessity.
Right, I suppose so. But anyway, my suggestion is we all get together and discuss the Second Amendment, what it should read. Because it's very ambiguous and nobody seems to know what the intent of the founders was. There's a lot of controversy.
Isn't that a lot of what is being debated or what they're arguing about? The NRA is saying that we should experience this literally, right? I mean,
yes.
You know, and just no difference than everybody's interpreting the Bible.
But
I mean,
they're trying to use it
for whatever their argument
even
is.
Even they allow for the fact that fully automatic weapons are illegal.
Well, they allow for it because they know they couldn't get it passed. I don't know that they allow for it philosophically.
Joe Mackey is here.
Joe Mackey, one night on.
Joe Mackey, you did not
so
see.
So sweet.
We're getting bogged down into gun control. I don't know if we're saying anything that hasn't already been said a billion times.
We're not. Let's move on.
But Joe Mackey has not seen Black Panther.
I have not seen Black Panther.
Son of a bitch. If anybody had seen it, we thought it might have been you.
I thought that you would have seen it.
Shoo-in. He was a shoo-in for a guy that might have seen it.
The superhero movies are getting worse and worse.
You're a racist.
Because nobody gets hurt, so there's no consequences in them.
Well, there never has been.
That's why I can't get invested in the characters because... they have got these 20-minute fight scenes for the international market.
I think you're 100%
right. They're fighting.
Those fight scenes are not just for the international market. They're for right here in the good old USA.
Okay, well,
you know the demographic you're dealing with in this country?
I like
don't insult our listeners.
I like a little bit of romance. I like a little bit of drama. I like someone's got to die.
I 100% agree. If I don't believe that the character has stakes, it's very hard for me to just watch somebody. If they're shooting, they just shot you 1,000 times. You didn't die.
Yeah, they just threw you into a building and the building fell apart.
Yeah, so it's
apart,
a music video after a while.
Yeah,
it's
Iron
like
Man
it without,
is,
yeah.
Iron Man's stronger than the building? I don't...
But what about because Black Panther is such a cultural phenomenon, aren't you at least curious? I know you're a curious person.
I am. And
sexually
and
otherwise.
You're so funny, Dan.
Sexually and otherwise.
I'll just go sit over at the other table and finish my water. I'm curious what it's about. I don't... It wasn't one of those movies I have to see in the theater. You know?
Well.
What's a movie that you have to see in the theater if it's not an action movie?
Gone with the Wind is the answer to that question.
Metropolis.
Do you honestly think that a movie is going to help or hurt this country?
Well,
I'm skeptical.
Well, that is interesting. Why has this movie become such a cultural phenomenon? I'll tell you one thing. These Jews are smart.
Good.
They're good, boy.
They are good.
They say, you know how much money we can make with a Hollywood production?
You take the temperature of the pop of the people.
You take the temperature of the people and you say that the black community needs...
Well, you know what preceded this is, you know, what the power of the... So these black shows that caught on, there's a demographic that's filled with millions and millions of people that don't have a black superhero to go buy a ticket to. It's a pretty obvious business model.
Everyone rips on Tyler Perry, but he's giving clean black... black character-based family entertainment that there's a market for.
Listen, there's no doubt about that. There's a big market for it, and that's why it's being given. I mean, at some point, you're going to see, Lolita Perez, the flying Latin, circus or something. I mean,
as I understand it...
Just about selling tickets.
From what little I know about this movie is the black community Wakanda that's in the film becomes powerful and rich because of some metal.
Who does?
The Wakanda.
Who's Wakanda?
Boy, you really are out of it, aren't you?
I don't know
what Wakanda is. Is the kingdom.
Do you know what Wakanda is?
Is that the metal that they find in the earlier movie to make the shield for
what movie? What
Captain
earlier
America
movie was there?
Or,
there was a Black Panther before this?
No, I don't think
so. Oh, I'm thinking of a... I'm getting my superhero.
You're thinking
I'm thinking
of Mrs. Miniver.
I'm thinking of X-Men.
You
that
animal.
Is embarrassing.
So, damn, what happens in Waka Waka?
No,
Waka
I think there's an asteroid that hits and with a metal, a special metal that makes that allows them to be rich.
What?
I don't know.
A metal? So meaning
that
something
was raised
hit.
By a Jewish guy.
So there was a lot of gold. Like, let's say there was a meteor, and it was made of gold, and then you
it
found
made
the
of
meteor,
some
and then
super metal that could do super shit.
Oh, I see. Okay. So the metal was part of the superpower.
So in other words, Wakanda became rich not because of the genius of its inhabitants, but because of this metal. At least according to what I've read, which
Saudi Arabia.
Right. So that's not exactly a empowering message, if that's the message.
No, but the fact that there's a film at all that is a black protagonist is a cultural talking point because
right, but
it could potentially be. It's like a black Barbie or somebody else. You feel represented.
Plus, third world cultures have historically been ones that export their minerals and their mineral wealth out to Western countries or China with little financial benefit. So
No, they've had tremendous financial benefit for the few. What you mean
for
is there's
the
not
few,
a tremendous benefit for the people.
For the people.
That it never trickles down to.
Right, right.
Son of a bitches.
Can we switch gears here a second?
Of course,
yeah, go ahead,
Joe.
They talked about...
go ahead, Mackie.
They said 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, but there's been like 10 movies that have come out in the last couple
years. No, who
said that?
Who said
that? I think the movie...
Nothing's ever gotten out. What gets 100%?
They figured out that if they stack the deck on Rotten Tomatoes before it comes out, it gets such a big... like, oh, it's 100% Rotten Tomatoes. It must be really good. But they did that with Star Wars.
Yeah, but I've known that. Anytime it didn't come out, it's often at 100%.
Yeah.
But I think, aren't people hip to that? They still believe
maybe they are.
100%?
They still use it to sell the movie. And I'm like, well, this can't be real.
Really? Yeah.
Because nothing, like...
Well, it doesn't seem honest, 100%.
You can't get 100% to think the Earth is round.
It's so true.
Yeah, there's no way that 100%
That's funny. That could be a good premise.
That's a good bit. Yeah. Write that down.
Well, I've got my notebook right here.
Yeah, you can't get 100% able to present the people.
Literally, they agree on the earth. I just watched a Vice special where they have these conferences where they get all the people together that don't believe that the earth is round. They believe it's flat. Have you seen? Check it out on Vice.
Well,
it's interesting.
Do they believe it or are they just trying to be like, you know?
I don't know, but
attention.
I'm sure some of them
are
believe
they like,
it.
They're trying to get attention.
I'll tell you who's not trying to get attention. These group stalker people. Look that up on Vice as well. They're convinced that other people. What's interesting about this is you can't prove to these people that they're crazy because they find all of this other like-minded community on the internet. It's called gang stalking. So you believe that you have tinfoil in your head and that you're being followed, and it's either the CIA or some group of spacemen, whoever.
That's crazy.
They're stalking you, and then I find you on the internet, and you go, I'm being stalked too, and now we affirm each other's paranoia, and they're having such a tough time trying to get the people to mitigating their obsession.
Do you know how vast conspiracy would have to be to say that the earth was flat, and we're like no, we gotta keep the people thinking it's round for whatever benefit there is to that?
Yeah, exactly, that's right.
Every astronaut, remember, the earth...
Yeah,
it's round.
Well, these people are not big fans of logic. Otherwise, there'd be no conference in the first place.
I'm not convinced that most of these people sincerely believe the Earth is flat.
Oh, yes.
I think they just think it's a fun thing.
Okay, what about the gang stalkers?
Well, I don't know anything. I have to research that, and I'll get back to you.
You got to research. This is good. You'll enjoy that.
Next week, if we have time after.
They're convinced. We're talking about people that are living on the streets sometimes. They're convinced. And then they go on the internet. It's a wild game out there.
That is interesting.
A lot of people with...
But you brought
illness,
up the idea, Dan. You brought up the idea. I didn't joke, I think. People are involved. Whatever strange proclivity you had at some point in your life, before the internet, you had to go ask around.
Yes, I did have that joke. I don't use it anymore.
It's a funny idea.
No, I had a joke about how, like, if you wanted an Asian woman to pee on you, it was word of mouth. You had to go on the street and say, hey,
exactly,
do you happen to know anybody that you get...
Well, and with the gang stalking, you can now find other people to affirm your crazy experience.
Maybe I should bring that joke back.
Maybe you should bring it back.
Problem is, I'm doing a lot of corporate, so you got to be clean. Anyway.
No, but that's clean enough for corporate.
Yeah, I think you could...
It's kind of cute.
You could change that, too.
It doesn't have to be an Asian woman to pee on you.
Why not?
Because that's a little strong for a corporate audience.
Oh, I see what you said. But the Asian strong, not the pee. Just find a woman to pee on you.
Both the Asian and the pee are strong.
Really?
For a corporate audience, I believe so.
You could dress up a golden shower bit under the best of circumstances. I don't see why not.
Is that Forte?
That's Forte.
Forte. Have you seen Forte?
Forte.
Have you seen Black Panther?
Have you seen the Panther, Forte? Have you seen Black Panther?
Could you just sit down and talk briefly with us, if you wouldn't mind, on our podcast? This is Forte. He's a musician, I guess.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Right, Forte?
Yeah, so.
He works next door at the Cafe next door.
Now, how did you feel about the movie, Forte? We haven't seen it.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, yeah? Really good?
Yeah, visually, it was. I thought the acting was amazing.
Yeah?
I thought the idea of the story was good.
It held up? It held up?
Oh, a lot better.
Well, cool. But the question I have is, as a black person, did you find it empowering or a good message? Which everybody seems to be talking about.
There was a good message.
Wait, what was the message?
Yeah, it was basically like put our differences aside. You know, you had five different tribes in the movie.
We don't know about it.
No spoilers, but and that you know they had their conflict, but at the end they knew how to resolve the issues without taking it too far. Where there was one brother that he just wanted to take it very far, and
yeah.
So the message is we should all get along.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good message. I can get behind that message.
Yeah, but the cultural talking point that you're referring to is the idea of
but why
a
do you think
black
this movie's resonating so much in the black community?
Why wouldn't it?
I was born in 1975. I don't remember a black superhero that, you know, if you look towards like WWF wrestling, remember they had like the Junkyard Dog.
Yeah, I remember the Junkyard Dog.
Booker T, you know, like all this. Yeah. Nothing really too inspiring. And, you know, when you let your imagination run through with it, it's a good thing to see. It was a more positive aspect to see in the community than what you regularly used to see.
Makes perfect sense.
Okay, and you've seen it once so far? Are you going to see it again?
No, I'm going to go back and see it. I saw it last night, 3D, $21, great experience. Popcorn, $9.
That's an expensive
crazy, right?
night,
yeah.
but...
I mean, you're paying for these new plush seats that recline.
Yeah.
That's worth it, though. Those plush seats are nice.
There's the popcorn that's expensive, but the seats are worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a good experience. I recommend everybody should see it.
All right.
Yeah. Don't think too much about politics when you go see it.
Yeah.
Be a kid again. Have an imagination, you know.
Dove's kid days are well behind him. He's got no sense of wonder. But I still have a little bit. And I know Joe has quite a bit.
Oh, lots of dreams still to be dreamt. this guy.
I still want the golden ticket, so, yeah.
There you go, the golden
That's
ticket.
That's a reference, of course, to
Charlie
the
Wonka.
Chocolate factory.
Willy Wonka.
Oh. Thank you, Forte.
Dan, pleasure.
Good to see you. For,
Forte,
finally,
gentleman
we found somebody
yes,
that
sir.
Saw... Black Panther. We were definitely. I guess that's it. We're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you, Dove Davidoff. Yes. Get his book Road Dog. And Joe Mackey stopped in.
Thank you.
Yes, Joe Mackey.
God bless you.
You know,
you're
find
a man
him
of
on the find him on the social media. He's a social media.
Social media
darling at Joe Mackey. I guess or
yep.
I don't know.
MACHI on Twitter, Instagram,
MACHI. And Kyle left because he's performing. So. And Stephen Calabria, any final words?
Thank you very much.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time on the Comedy Cellar Show.